Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Unfazed and Unbothered. I'm Tasia.
I'm Camo. And this week, we are discussing relationships, friendships, romantic ships, anything in between ships, toxic, healthy, what you should and should not accept.
Yes, I'm excited about this. I have so much I want to talk about, honestly, with friendships and toxic relationships and healthy relationships. For me, fuck these friends. I don't have very many, so fuck them all. I'm just kidding. no, but seriously, Cam's like my only friend. But the reason why I'm like that is because I've had such bad experiences with friends over the past 5 years. And a few months ago, I tried talking back with people, you know, that I was friends with years ago, or I've met new people and things just never worked out. And so I just enjoy being by myself, but also when you have kids, I feel like it's very, you have to be very mindful about who you allow in your life and who you allow around your kids' life. People are very wishy-washy, and that's fine, but I just can't, I can't tolerate that in my life, especially because I'm at a really, really good place in my life. And a lot of people are not happy for people that are doing good. They want to see your downfall. Mm-hmm. And it's just hard for me to relate to people like that, because even when I was at my worst, I never wanted to see people fail. And so I've just realized that being by myself and spending time with my family and my child is, you know, what I enjoy doing the most. And, you know, obviously maintaining the friendships that I've had over the past couple of years, like, for example, with you. And yet I still talk to people that I was friends with in high school, and I love them dearly. Although I feel like as of right now, a lot of the people that I was friends with were just all in different places, because majority of my friends, they don't have kids. And they're actually, well, I'm out of breath because I'm pregnant and I feel like I just ran a fucking marathon. So if y'all hear me huffing and puffing, I'm pregnant. So anyway, there was a friendship that I had a few months ago, and she actually had a child, and she's very wishy-washy, you know. She was in a toxic relationship, and so sometimes she could hang out with me, sometimes she couldn't, and I just got really tired of that. And because one, it's not fair to our children to play with each other some days and some weeks, and then you randomly just
disappear,
and then you're like, hey, months later, what are you doing? No, it doesn't work like that. That's just, my friendships mean so much to me. Like who I allow in my life means so much to me, because it's very hard for me to allow people to see in on my life, especially, you know, being that I post my whole life on social media. You have to be very mindful about people that are genuinely wanting to be in your life because they care for you and not the social media version of you. And I feel like it's hard for people to understand that. Like one thing about, you know, me and my life, majority of the friends that I have, they were friends with me before social media, or they had no idea about social media until they were my friend. So it's easier to be friends with somebody or have people like that around you like that versus people that you meet offline. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But so for me, definitely I prefer healthy friendships over the toxic ones. And I have made it very clear to everybody that I have in my life. If you show me more than, you know, a couple of times that you are not a good friend to me, or if you show me that you're bringing more negativity into my life than good, chances are I'm going to cut you off.
There's no room for that.
Yeah. And literally I've done that to three people over the last 3 weeks. Just because I don't have time to entertain it. And my husband helps me with that because he's very good at, I guess he's very good at understanding that who's good for his life and who's not. And I look up to him in situations like that because he's told me multiple times, like, why do you keep talking to them if you feel this, that they're bringing so much negativity into your life? And
because you don't want to disappoint people.
Yeah. And so I remember thinking, like, honestly, like, I really don't know. And so I just got tired of doing that. And I got tired of people pleasing and just doing things for other people and not myself. And I just like cut it off. Like, and for cutting people off, for me, that's either unfriending you or just blocking you or telling you that like we're not going to work out as friends. I mean, it is what it is. And I don't feel bad about that. And that's also, it helps you. I feel like over time, it's really helped me focus more on like myself and my self-worth as well, just because a lot of people will, they're just your friends because they're bored and, or they're your friends for the season. And so you
ain't got time for that.
No, we don't. And I'm sure you can relate to, you've had friendships that.
Oh, I've had so many friendships come and go. And I don't know, the thing that I, you know, try to avoid is people who constantly pull their phone out or want to take pictures. And it's like, girl, where was that energy prior to me having a following? I've had friends who weren't really active in my life 2 or 3 years ago, but we were friends. But they were like, they'd come and go. And then now suddenly they want to be my bestie. And I'm like, okay, red flag number one. And then they get with you and it's like constantly pulling the phone out and constantly wanting to make TikToks. And it's like, listen, when I am offline, I don't want to talk about social media. I don't want to, like, I really, honestly, this might sound conflicting considering that we put ourselves out there, but I feel like you're the same in this sense. Like, we are not just a TikTok video. Like, when we're offline, we're just regular people, and I want to enjoy somewhat of a regular life. Like, people don't understand that when you put yourself out there, they expect to always get that version of you, and they expect you to always have that energy, and they expect you to just be a walking show. And, like, you know, most days we are, but like, I don't want to sit here and talk about videos all day and talk about, oh, how can I do this, or like, let's just have a healthy relationship where we like, talk to me like you would talk to any other friend, please and thank you. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I don't know. And people who, out of jealousy, want to continuously bring up your past. Like, I've had so many friends who will be like, when you'll get in like social settings of more than, you know, a couple people, and they'll be like, remember that one time? And it's like, bitch, I will punch you in your throat.
Yeah, I had that. I had that problem with family members.
Shit is so toxic.
And with certain people that I was friends with. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm doing good now. And so if you are a friend, if you knew me back then, you don't fucking know me now.
Yeah.
You know what I allow you to know. But to constantly bring up somebody's past, that is like so not okay. And I feel like, you know, some people will disagree with this, and that's fine. But if you Okay, like for my family, obviously I did a lot of crazy shit. My family had to put up with a lot of crazy shit for me, you know, going to jail and being on drugs and drinking all the time and shit like that. But now that I'm not doing that, it's not okay to keep bringing that up.
No, it's triggering. And people don't respect that. And they want to make a mockery out of it. And they think that just because you're online and you put yourself out there that they can just constantly throw it in your face. It's kind of like, it feels like they want to minimize you and your confidence because you're in this group of people who most likely don't know that side of you and they only know what they see online. And so they have this idea of you. And then that person wants to come in and like ruin their idea of you by sharing these horrible instances of your past. And the thing is every one of you bitches listening has a past. Everybody listening has a past. We all do. Nobody's perfect. And I would not go around and constantly remind other friends of mistakes they've made because I am not a hypocrite. I know that I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. So why do you constantly want to put somebody down because you're not up?
Like, I remember at my baby shower with Greenlee. I didn't mean to move the table, friend. But at my baby shower with Greenlee, there were multiple family members talking about bringing up my past and laughing about it. And I could hear them.
How is that funny?
And I'm like, that's hilarious. Traumatic. This is my baby shower.
Right.
This is not a time to make fun of people. And so there's a lot of family members that probably, you know, wonder why I don't reach out. It's because you're a fucking asshole. That's why. And I don't care if we're related. I don't give a fuck. On my dad's side of the family, I don't talk to anybody. I love my dad and my brothers, but I'm talking about like cousins on my dad's side and aunts and uncles. I don't talk to them because majority of them are toxic.
The crusties.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a real OG, remember?
Yeah. And just like on my mom's side, there's some people that I don't keep a relationship with for certain reasons, and that's okay. And it's not many people. It's just, and it's not like I'm saying, oh, I don't like them. No, it's just, if I don't feel comfortable reaching out, or if I constantly feel like I'm being bashed or my past is being brought up, or you know what I'm saying? I don't want to have a relationship with people like that. I don't want to be involved with people like that because it does more harm than it does good. And, you know, people, they get in their head and it's almost like they're selfish. Like they're like, oh, but it hurt me because you did this. Well, think about what the fuck I was going through. You know what I mean? Because it's, yes, I love my family. Like I love my parents like that. I'm not directing this towards them at all. They were hurt by my actions and choices. And they don't bring up my past anymore. But at first, you know, obviously when they didn't trust that I was going to continue to do good, they would bring up my past and it was triggering all the time.
Because you're trying to turn a new leaf. You're trying to move past that and live a different life. And when you're constantly reminded of it,
it almost makes you want to say fuck it and do it anyway. Because y'all just keep fucking talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Like you keep talking about it. So I'm just going to go and do it. That's how I used to think before I had Greenlee. I got so fucking tired of people bringing up my past and shit. It was never, oh, what's going on? Why are you doing this? It was always like, oh, I can't believe you would do this. You're fucking stupid. You know what I mean? It was never like, let's figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And that is just crazy to me. And so I feel like I experienced this so I could be a voice for many people, but also so that I can do things differently, like with the people that I surround myself with, or I can view people's situations differently than the way that I view my situations. Because most people, they're not very open-minded. They want to judge it how they would handle it, or they're judging it off of something that they've never personally experienced. Yes, you might have experienced with a family member, but did you experience it yourself? So you can't really relate. So anyways, with that being said, if people do that, then it's okay to separate yourself because I had to do that and it hurt people's feelings. And there's times where
Well, what do they expect if they're constantly putting you down? You can't be in like good spirit. Uh-huh. You can't be like, oh yeah, girl, I remember that one time too. I was a piece of shit. Thanks for the reminder. can you pass the mashed potatoes, please? Like, what? No, bitch, I don't want to sit here and relive my trauma. I don't want to continue to relive these dark times of my life, I'm trying to grow up, and I've made a conscious effort. You have made a conscious effort to be better versions of ourselves. And I don't constantly need to be reminded of my foolishness in the past. Like,
it's also like when you're, for example, yes, people are affected when you're using and abusing your body and you're in and out of jail, but you're really the one that's being affected the most.
Yes.
You're battling it in your head, and you're the ones that's having to deal with this. So everybody else can just worry about themselves and let the person that's trying to get better get fucking better. For example, my uncle, you know, he's gotten clean for the first time in maybe 20-something years. It might be even longer than that. And he's been clean for a while now. And he'll call me sometimes, and there's situations that he deals with where people are constantly bringing up his past, and I've had to tell him. If people do that, it's something that they have to work out themselves. It is okay for them to have their feelings hurt. That is okay. But what is not okay is for you to be being sober and doing what you're supposed to be doing to get yourself right. It's not okay for somebody to constantly bring up your past to try to get you down, because that's not doing anything but adding negativity to your life. And at this point in your life, you need as much positivity as you can possibly get. So if you feel that somebody is bringing negativity like that, then don't talk to them until they get themselves right. And that might take years, or it might be never, because they don't want to heal within themselves and work on themselves first. That's not your fucking problem.
No, because they got their own shit too. And they need to respect the process, and they need to recognize that you have made an effort to grow. And so instead of being like, oh yeah, remember that back then, the conversation should be, you know what, Tasia, you have came such a long way. Like, I am so proud of the woman you've grown into. Not, oh, remember when you were a piece of shit? Oh, fuck yeah, I do. Thank you so much for the reminder. Like, why would they expect you or me to want to spend time around that type of energy? It's just so hateful. And like, acting like your shit don't stink, girl.
Yeah, you just don't do that.
There's a lot of people that want to point fingers. And I'm like, girl, when they go low, I go lower. And that's why a lot of people don't fuck with me, because when people want to present that energy to me, oh, baby, you've absolutely met your match, because I know how to push your buttons. And if you're going to push mine, girl, I'm going to push all your motherfucking buttons.
And the thing too is, when people do that, it's like, if you're so affected by something I've done in the past, because for example, with me, I had to apologize to a lot of people. I had to make amends to a lot of people. I did a lot of bad things. And what I mean by that is using and drinking and shit like that. I was a completely different person. I was fucking mean. I didn't give a fuck about what you had to think.
Well, when you're on drugs, you're acting out of character. Your morals go out the window.
Period. And so, but I made amends and I apologize. And so if I do that and you're still bringing up the past, then you need to take a step back and work on yourself. You know what I'm saying? Or
period.
Or take me aside and let's work through this. But calling people out in front of everybody, it shows so much more about your character.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that I might be hurt about that somebody has done, but I'm not going to call you out in a group setting.
Time and place. If something bothers you, that's something I really don't like. I don't like friends who want to put you on the spot like that and make it into a whole conversation in front of everyone. Like, if we got beef or if we got something going on, pull me aside and be like, look, that kind of upset me. And I'll be like, I'm so sorry. Let's move on.
Period.
You know, like, don't sit here and embarrass me, because I'm not going to do that. But once you embarrass me, bitch, then we're going to go tit for tat till the goddamn cows come home, baby, because I'm not going to tolerate that, and nobody should. I'm not going to be submissive to any disrespect. I will absolutely serve you back a dose of your medicine, and it's just not going to be happy and healthy for anyone involved. So just accept that we're all growing at a different pace, and we're all in different places. And if anyone is making a conscious effort to grow and better themselves, then show support to that. Don't constantly remind somebody of the past, because that's toxic as fuck in itself.
Absolutely. But I think we should go on a break, friend.
I was about to say.
Period muffins. We'll be right back, bitches.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this. When you Angie that, download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, welcome back, bitches. So that was so like
so aggressive.
Okay? Welcome back, bitches. So we are going to dive into the relationship part, the toxic, the good. What's cute and what's not so gorgeous. Well, so for me, I've talked about this in previous episodes. I was in a really toxic relationship when I was around 17. And looking back, I don't think I was in love. I really don't. I think that I was very depressed and insecure. And this was also when I was going through my eating disorder. So I needed somebody in my life. And so there's a lot of shit that I put up with that I wouldn't have put up with if I wasn't going through a certain time in my life. But for me, what really showed me that it was toxic was the fact that, you know, the cheating that I talked about in previous episodes, you know, having to go through the phone, the multiple cheatings. I mean, I'm pretty sure he had slept with like three people in a week one time. Like, it was that disgusting. It was that bad. And
how long did you stay with him knowing that?
Probably for another year after that. Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, my God. When you have to look through somebody's phone, they're not the one.
And it got to the point where we started playing tit for tat.
Oh, yeah.
So if he did some shit to me, and it wasn't like this at first. The first two times he cheated on me, I was like, we can get over this. Bitch, you're dumb because nothing's going to change. But after that, after he showed me time and time again that he wasn't going to change, I started doing it back to him. And then he realized that I didn't give a fuck anymore.
He met his match.
And so I think that he did care about me. He just didn't know how to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He had never been in like a real relationship either. And he just, I don't know, he was a fucking toxic human being. Hopefully that he's changed because God bless that motherfucker. But yeah, anyways, so we started playing like tit for tat and shit. And our relationship was toxic like that for 2 years. And it took me going to rehab to get away from it. And now looking back, I'm like looking at my younger self like, girl, you know what I'm saying, girl. And he wasn't very cute and gorgeous either. So,
once you've had a taste of like, a healthy relationship and like real love, you like think, I'm sure you think back like, oh my God, the shit that I was allowing, like what the fuck was wrong with me? But like you said, you kind of needed somebody around, and a lot of people struggle with codependency for multiple reasons. And you just shouldn't be allowing people to disrespect you or your body, and you shouldn't deal with somebody who is constantly sneaking behind your back. And if you're having to go through somebody's phone, like, they're really not the one.
Well, he was also the kind of person too that would like cheat on me or do some really
and then
dumb
accuse
shit.
You of it?
No, and oh. then blow up my phone when I didn't want to talk. Or I'd say, hey, we're breaking up. He would blow up my phone like psychopath shit. Like, it was honestly kind of scary. And there was one time I was in jail. I was in jail for violation of probation. And my car was at my house. And being that I was in jail, he wouldn't have thought that my car would lead the driveway, I guess. Well, my mom had been driving my car for some, I don't really even know. She had her car, but she was driving my car for some reason. And I didn't realize this until I got out of jail. But when I got out of jail, I was only in there for 2 weeks. When I got out of jail, I checked my phone. He had been blowing up my phone like, I didn't know you got out of jail. I saw you driving your car because we were neighbors, right? And I was thinking, bitch, I've been in jail. Like, are you that dumb? You could look up my name and see if I'm fucking booked still. But anyways, and also we had a fucking iPhone and the text messages weren't delivering. So why the fuck are you still texting me thinking I'm out of jail, you dumb motherfucker?
Right.
But anyways, so it was my mom driving my car. It wasn't me, you creepy ass bitch.
Y'all.
Looking out the damn blinds and shit like, oh, she's home. Shit, hey. But fuck. So he had been like blowing up my phone, and I tell you, over 1,000 text messages. I'm not kidding you. Over 1,000 text messages, okay?
What?
Asking for me back. Motherfucker, you've cheated on me with 25,000 bitches. Okay?
You not
don't.
Funny.
Yeah, you don't want... No, it's fucking hilarious as hell now. Because I can laugh about it now because it's embarrassing, girl. Like, come on. Are you okay, Tayshia? Are you okay, hon?
But
I wasn't okay. I was fucking sick and suffering, bitch. You know what I'm saying? I got out of jail and I got over 1,000 text messages from a fucking psychopath talking about, I know I cheated on you, but shit, I miss you. I bet you fucking do, but you weren't missing me when you were in some other bitches. But anyways, thank you and God bless you. no, but he... that was really toxic for me. But, and I will say that it really ruined me for many years.
Yeah.
And it can definitely affect your relationships if you don't work on yourself. It really can. And you have to be very mindful of the fact that just because one person's like that doesn't mean everybody is like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for years I thought that, and I was very scared. And I started like being the top, like it's almost like he turned me into him.
You know, that's a thing. That really is a thing. People show you such a toxic type of love. And then, you know, a lot of people are like a mere reflection of other people. And so when you are kind of like put in that situation, you're kind of like shown the ropes kind of, and then you kind of implement that toxicity. And that's so common. I've seen that again and again and again. Like, you put your all into something and then you get played, and then you become the player.
Well, it's trauma. And I think like that relationship was more trauma for me than being sexually assaulted. And I've said that, but it was that bad. It was so fucking bad. It was miserable. Like, I remember one time, like, we were going to go do something and he had hickeys on his neck. Like, it was just really, it fucked my head up really bad. And so I literally turned into him and I started treating people like shit. And then I realized, I was like, this is not cute. Like, I started thinking it was cute to be this savage, but I was like, it's not cute because you don't feel good about yourself. You're fucking mm-hmm. miserable. You can't treat people like shit and expect good things to happen to you. And so it took me a long time to learn that I don't have to live like that anymore. I don't have to tolerate it. And I prayed for many years to not have to go through that again. And I got so tired of people doing me wrong and being in and out of relationships. And so, like, when I was in prison, I just prayed for like a healthy relationship. You know, I don't want to be involved with somebody unless it's going to be the person that I marry. Like, I just got tired of it. And then when I got out of prison, you know, me and my husband, we linked back up because, you know, we talked before I went or whatever, but we linked back up and everything has just been very cute and gorgeous. And I thank God for my husband every day, just because we really are. We're in a healthy relationship and so many blessings have happened for us. I'm so excited for the baby to be here. I mean, so much good things have happened for the both of us in our lives. We needed the time apart so that when we did come back together, we could both be healthy for each other.
Yeah.
Because when we first met, we weren't healthy for each other, but we also had a lot of shit to deal with on our own.
Yeah.
And so when God brought us back together, we were both healed and in a much better place. And so I don't know what it's like to live the toxic lifestyle that I used to, because I don't have to live that anymore.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wake up every day and I'm like, or I'll wake up one day and I'm like, damn, like I am at peace. And it's easy to be like, my anxiety will tell me something's wrong, and nothing is wrong. Everything is actually perfect, you know? Like everything is very, very good. And I remember like years ago, like if things were going good, I would always be like, yeah, but it's still not perfect. Like something's wrong. But now I don't have to live like that anymore, you know? Because everything, like I'm at a peace and it feels good to be at a peace. But, you know, a lot of times too, like people are like, oh, she's so lucky. She has everything. But no, it took me a long fucking time to get here. You know what I mean? A lot of pain and suffering. Like I really didn't even think I was going to make it to 21. I really didn't think that I could be a good mom to Greenlee when I got out of prison. I didn't think that I could do anything on my own. I didn't think that, I don't know. I felt like I was going to be stuck in this hole. And as soon as I got out of prison, it was like, God was like, yeah, I'm going to show you though. Blessings, 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 blessings. And I'm just so grateful for that. And so I feel like when you go through such a toxic time in your life or such toxic friendships and relationships, yes, it sucks at the time. But finally, when you get to where you're supposed to be, and I never thought I'd say that, but like you are grateful for everything you went through, you know?
Well, you learn or you pick up on all these red flags and you're like, okay, this is what I won't accept. I know to look out for this. And so going through trauma and going through all these hardships teaches you, you know, what to look out for. And you just grow into a wiser, sharper person. And so now we won't tolerate certain things that we've tolerated in the past because now we know what to look out for. But it's crazy to compare like past relationships to your marriage now, because it's like night and day.
It really is.
There's like mutual respect. He communicates with you. There's a level of trust. Like,
I know. I mean, my family, our families, like we're all involved. Like everybody loves each other. Like it really is such a true blessing. Like I love him so much. But on that note, have you ever been in love, friend? Like, have you ever had your heart broken, friend?
Okay, let's go on a break and then come back to this.
Okay.
Because it's a lot to unpack.
Okay, we'll be right back, y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, Lil Biscuits. We left off. Tayshia was asking me if I've ever been in love, ever had my heart broken. To answer those questions, yes. So I've been in a few short-lived flings. I won't call them relationships. But there's been two relationships that taught me a lot. So one has been going on and off for now 10 years come April. I have written almost every love song, relationship type song about this individual. And I'm finally at a place where I feel like I can open up about it because it's been very hush. But before I dive into that one, I'm going to kind of talk about this relationship that I was in a few years ago. So To answer your question, though, I would say I've been in love one time, and I would say I loved one other person. I've loved two people, but I've only been in love with one person. But this one particular guy, funny thing is both their names start with a J. J's are toxic. If their name starts with a J, hit the hay running, bitch. So I started dating this guy. We met on Tinder. And at first, like, we hit it off right away. And it was a fairy tale. And at that point in my life, I had lost 120 pounds. I was very skinny. I was so confident in who I was. I started dating. And my life seemed to be coming together. And I was like, oh, my God, like, this is beautiful. And I had, like, kind of finally healed from that other relationship that I'm going to dive into. But it was, like, a real official relationship. We were, like, actually public. Except he was not out to his family. And he had never dated a guy prior to dating me, which has been my experience with every guy I've ever been involved with. They've never been with a guy prior to me. But we started dating, and then a few months in, I was staying the night at his house, and it got messy. He lived in, like, a split-level house where he had, like, the basement to himself, and it was, like, a whole apartment. And so I would sneak in through the back door and stay the night with him, and we'd be pretty unbothered. For the most part. But one time his mother was coming downstairs and he was like, oh my God, go run and hide. And so, oh my God, he had like two storage rooms downstairs where his family kind of kept like miscellaneous things. And, I went and hid behind this one door, and I guess he had like taken a lamp from his mom's office or some shit. And she came downstairs and was like, hey, I need a lamp. And he knew I was hiding in the storage room. So he was like, oh, you can just take that lamp back. You can take it back. And she's like, no, you can keep that one. I'm going to go get one out of the room. And so she goes to the room across from me, and I can see her in the crack of the door that I'm behind in the other room. She like scratches her head, looks around, nothing. And then she comes in the room that I'm in, pushes the door. I'm like,
holy
shit. Up against the wall. And I'm like trying so hard not to breathe. And then I just hear her inhale. She's like, and I had very strong cologne on. And she pulled the door back. And oh my God. What are you doing here? What's going on here? You're the reason my son's acting weird. And like she knew. And she convinced this man that I was like a witch who was like casting spells on him. But she was like, I played it off cool. She was like, why are you hiding? What's going on? Y'all are seeing each other. And like, I played it off. I was like, no. She couldn't understand why I was hiding. And so I like right off the rip, like, I don't know how I just pulled this out of my ass, but I was like, no. So like, I know how it looks, and I know I'm like gay, and like, so I was scared that you would assume this, and like, I know how outsiders might perceive what's going on, so I hid because I didn't want you to think something was going on, but we just do music, he plays guitar and I sing, and like, we're just friends. She wasn't buying it. She read my life to filth for like 20 minutes, and then that was one instance. And then one night I came to his house at like 3 a.m. and he didn't really have good service down in his basement. And while I was approaching the back door, he, I guess, had texted me, don't come in yet. I didn't get that message.
Oh, shit.
I walked in and his mom was like in her underwear. And she said, what are you doing here? Blah, 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 blah. Get out of my house. It was a whole thing. But he never came out to his family. He never was open with his friends and his, like, when we would hang around, like, people he knew, we had to pretend that we were friends. And I shouldn't have been accepting of that, but I was trying to be patient with him because I knew, you know, he had never been with a guy. And so I was like, you know what? Coming out of the closet is something so personal, and I would never try to push somebody out of the closet, and everyone's got to come to terms with their sexuality at their own time. So I was really just trying to show him, you know, that I was patient and that I, you know, accepted him as is, but we had to work on that. We dated for like a year and a half and there was no progress. But one day I had never like used his phone, and anytime like we would be playing music in his car, I would be like, oh, let me change the song. And he would always be like looking over my shoulder at like what I was looking at. And like at that time I had never been in like a real relationship, so like I didn't think too much of it. And then one particular day I went into Starbucks and I had his phone, like we got to do like a mobile order off his phone. And so I went in, and while I was waiting in line, my intuition was like, Cam, look in his phone. You've never looked in his phone. You've never even had the opportunity to do so. First fucking thing I see, this message of him talking to some bitch. Oh, I was dreaming about you last night. I had my hands in your pants. I dream about you again tonight. I fucking went outside. Fuck the coffees we just bought. I threw that phone in his goddamn face and said, who the fuck is this bitch? And then he begged me not to leave him. And I was like, you know what? We'll work on this. He explained himself out of that situation. And then like 3 days went on and I could tell he was like acting, you know, kind of distant. And I was like, hey, like, is this what you want? Yeah, like, yeah. And I'm like, why do I hear so much hesitation? Like, is this what you want? And then it was like the floodgates open. Well, I told you I'd never been with a guy before. And I just don't think this is sustainable for long term and blah, 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 blah. Like all this bullshit. But like, I do care about you. And it was just so much. And then we had like talked about kind of taking a break, but working on like getting back together when we could figure our shit out. And so we were still seeing each other. And to my knowledge, we were still exclusive with no label. And so we were still seeing each other. We were still intimate. And it was literally like nothing changed. We still were going on dates. We still were boom, boom, powing, everything in between that a couple would do. And then I went to Florida and I had like actually one of my first tarot readings. And that's why I got this Three of Swords tattoo on my inner arm, actually. The tarot reader was like, you're about to go through a major heartbreak. There's going to be a major betrayal. Bitch, I went home. He, at this point, like, hadn't, like, for some reason, his phone broke or whatever. And he was, like, kind of, like, suicidal all the time. I don't know why I've attracted so many guys that are like that. Which, if you're going through that, please seek help. And he was medicated for it, but I would always try to like be there for him. And so I was scared that he had done something when he wasn't communicating with me. But anyways, when I got back home, at the time my car was broke down. And then my friend Alyssa, actually my ex-girlfriend, LOL, shout out to you, Alyssa. She was like, I want to know what's going on. So she drove me from Winder, Georgia, all the way to Woodstock. It was like a 2-hour drive. And we got there and his car was there. So I was like, okay, he's must be okay. And then, or his car wasn't there. And I was like, he must be okay because his car's not here. And she was like, I was like, we can just go now. And she's like, no, I'm not convinced that everything's okay. And I was like, okay. So we waited like 30 minutes down the road and we came back. There was two cars in the driveway. And so I was like, still wasn't thinking too much about it. And then his mom hated me. So I had her go to the door and be like, hey, I work with so-and-so. I'm just checking on him because he hasn't gotten back to me. Just want to make sure he's okay. And then she's like, yeah, he's okay. He's downstairs. And I had her, this sounds so toxic, I had her go down to his backyard and like peep through his window. And lo and behold, the bitch that he told me not to worry about that he worked with, they were both naked. Like he was in his underwear and she was wet with a towel around her. And yeah, it was a whole hot ass mess express. And so that happened. And that kind of was like this big betrayal right after this tarot reader told me about that, you know? And so he somehow explained himself away and was like, oh no, like we just went to the pool, and like he had talked so much shit about her in the past and like how he thought she was ugly and XYZ. And so like I wasn't fully convinced. I still had my doubts, but at that point we kind of weren't like official. So I was like, okay, whatever. And so we still kept seeing each other again for like 3 or 4 more months. But I had Alyssa text that girl because I knew who she was because he worked with her and I'd seen her Instagram before. He'd like made fun of her and like showed me her Instagram. Anyways, so I had Alyssa like reach out to him on Facebook. And 3 months later, because like if you're not friends with somebody, you know, like your message will go to like the message requests. And so 3 months later, she replied and was like, yeah, I do know so-and-so. We're dating. I'm like, are you kidding me? And so then I called him and I said, hey, so she gave me her number and we talked on the phone. I said, I just got off the phone with so-and-so. Looks like y'all were just fooling around yesterday. Funny, because I told her that on Monday, you have my doo-doo in your mouth, bitch. Like,
oh my gosh.
Right. And so that was that. And that was kind of that was pretty much the end of that. And we stopped seeing each other. But I was really hurt about that. I wrote a few songs about him, but not on the level of this other one I'm going to get into. So I feel like I did love him. Yeah. And I do have love for him. And we do still communicate from time to time, but it's not romantic at all. Like, I don't have feelings for him in that way anymore. But this other relationship, I'm not going to give specifics because it'll be a dead giveaway, but one of my brother's besties and I have had this private affair going on for now 10 years come April, and I genuinely did fall in love with him, and we've had such great chemistry. Anytime we've ever been together, it's like nothing but laughs and like passion and like eye contact. Like, I'm so big on eye contact. And, you know, he, same thing, never been with a guy prior to me. And for 10 years, on and off, I've allowed him to come weasel his way back into my life. I'll cut him off and say I'm done with that. And then he'll come back some way, shape, form, or fashion and invade my life. And then it's like been so traumatizing to me because I feel like I can't get over it, because he always comes around and he's like my fucking kryptonite. Like, he knows what he's doing. He comes around, comes and goes as he pleases, and has always gotten away with it. But now I'm like putting my foot down, and like, he actually told me not to talk about this, but you know what,
who are you to tell?
Who are you? You're not gonna tell me I can't talk about this on my fucking podcast, bitch. Like, who are you? The past, bitch. But you know, that whole situation is messy, because, you know, he'll sit here and tell me, oh, like, I do care about you and I've always had feelings for you. My feelings have never went away. And like, okay, this is gonna sound so horrible of me, and I really hope that people don't look at me in a different light, because I don't condone this behavior. But this particular situation has been going on for so long. So he ended up getting married, and we continued to see each other. And I was putting up with that.
But he also kept giving you false hope too, saying that they were going to divorce and stuff.
Yeah.
And so you went along with it thinking that, okay, and it's just progressed, and you found out he was a liar.
Yeah. And he, you know, was telling me how he wants to run away and be with me. And like, everything was different. Like, cause I cut him off for like 3 years out of my life. And then he recently came back into my life early this year. And like, the energy was way different. Like, it was very much him chasing me and him being like, oh, like, I finally have came to terms with my sexuality. And I finally like want to make things right. And these were my feelings, because he was never vocal about his feelings until this year. I knew they were there because I could feel it, but he never was comfortable to share with me like how he really felt. And so, you know, I told him from the jump, like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to dive back into that trauma if you're not, you know, ready to grow the fuck up and be different about the situation. And lo and be fucking hold, just as always, he's back on his bullshit. So we don't talk anymore. He blocked me randomly on everything. And that is like, I have a lot of friends who are like me, who are androgynous, who are, you know, gender fluid. I consider myself gender fluid. So we kind of like attract the same type of guys, like guys who are into us because we're feminine, but also like have like that, you know, bit of curiosity and want like that masculine side of us as well. And the thing is we tend to always get involved in these down low affairs with people who are not secure in themselves, and it never leads to any good. And it has fucked my brain up so much and like diminished my self-worth, because I'm like, damn, like I can't get him to stick around for me. And I know it's not me, because I know what I bring to the table. I know, you know, my worth. But for years, I was like, had no trust for anybody. And like, I still struggle with trust because of the lies and manipulation that he's put me through. And then he had the audacity to tell me recently that, oh, well, you knew my circumstance. As if I'm supposed to hold you accountable. You knew your circumstance. Like, why?
He lied.
Yeah. And I only went on with it because you were telling me like you were not happy and you wanted to basically pack up and leave your situation. And like, I really honestly genuinely do feel bad for his wife. She doesn't deserve that. And like, I don't have a problem with her. And I understand why, you know, she made him like block me and everything. But like, I'm going off of what he's telling me, you know, and I was stupid of me to get involved at this stage of my life. Like, but like Selena Gomez says, the heart wants what it wants.
Period, muffins.
It's just you should not accept that at all. Like, going forward, I had kind of already, like, for the past few years after that other relationship, I had told myself, you know what, I'm not going to get involved with anybody who's not secure in themselves, somebody who's not out to their family. And I stood by that, and I haven't gotten involved with anybody else like that since. But then he comes around and, like, is painting this picture to me that he's ready to change finally, and showed me that he had changed, was calling me every day. We'd be on the phone for hours. And then, boom, goes right back to the bullshit. And so moving forward, anybody listening who is like myself, if they are not out and they don't proudly want to own y'all's relationship, stop fucking with them. Because it's like it's so mentally exhausting.
If you don't feel secure, something is wrong.
Well,
for example, in previous years, my anxiety or my intuition always told me when something's wrong. If I'm worried about something, if I feel worried, or is go ahead and break up because something's wrong. Something's going on and you're going to find out about it. It might take a while, but something's going on.
Yeah.
If you don't feel secure or at peace with something, then something's not right.
Well, I mean, sexuality is like such a thing, because I feel like for men, it's a lot harder to like come to terms because of societal norms and like how people feel. And like, you know, I do feel for him at the same time, because his biggest stress was how his family would handle the situation.
Right.
And so like, it's a lot of it comes from fear. And that's why I don't want to like put names out there. And I don't want, like, I do still love him. I'm not going to sit here and lie. But I don't trust him. And it sucks, because I've never had that type of bond with anybody. And now it's like, I am scared that I won't find that type of connection. Because when we're together in person, like, it's like fucking fireworks. And then as soon as we go our separate ways, it's like cold shoulder. And so like, it's really left me second guessing my every move. Did I do something wrong? Like, am I not enough? Like, am I this? Am I that? But I'm at a place where I know, like, it's not me. I know what I bring to the table. I know what I'm worth, and I'm worth so much more than that. And I do hope that one day he can get his shit together and figure his life out and stop being a fucking whore and commit to one or the other. But who knows? It might not be in this lifetime. And all you can do is pray. And I do pray that he figures it out, because taking myself out of the situation, I know how hard it is to come to terms with your sexuality. And like, speaking on that, like, for anyone listening, because I get a lot of messages like, hey, Camel, how do you come to terms with your sexuality? And that is the hardest part, is coming to terms with it. For me, like, the hardest part was just uttering, I'm gay. I remember being in the cafeteria at my school, my 11th grade, and I sat in the mirror for like 5 minutes and was like, I'm, and I couldn't say it. And I finally was like, I'm gay. Light switch, bitch. Everything changed. From that moment forward, I was like, this is who I am. But so I do feel for him, because I know how hard that is, especially like I've always been feminine. So it's like always been so obvious that I'm gay. But he's like mask presenting. And so like guys like that, like it is harder for them to come to terms, because like, one, people don't expect it out of them. And two, they're going to get more like flack from it, because people don't expect it out of them. So when they come out, they're like, wait, no, but you dated girls and blah, 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 blah. You're not. This is a phase. It's just toxic. Like, people need to accept people as is. And like, I hate that people have to worry about what their family's going to think, what their friends are going to think, because nobody should give a fuck. Nobody should care about how somebody else is living their life, as long as they are not harming others. Like, let people live their life. You know what I'm saying?
Period.
But yeah, that is a whole mess. And there's so many layers to it and so many details I don't want to share. But yeah, to answer your question again, yeah, I've been in love twice. I mean, been in love once, but loved, I'd say, two people. But going forward, I will never accept somebody who is not out and not confident and comfortable within themselves. And I deserve to be shown off. Like,
oh, that's some, and that's some tea right there.
No, period. Like, fucking Swae Lee and Janae's new song, In the Dark. Don't leave me in the dark. I deserve more. I'm somebody's reward. Period.
Let I haven't know, heard mama. It.
Girl, it's so good. After this episode, I'm going to put you on, bitch. Because that song, I've been obsessed.
Period. I should be a fucking singer. What do you think?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's enough. I'm fucking disgusting.
Well, this episode was all over the place, but
it's been very cute and gorgeous.
Very cute, very gorgeous. And I'm glad I finally got that off of my chest. Mr. Stink, I'll call him. I wish you well. And I hope you figure your shit out.
Peace, love, and blessings.
Peace, love, and blessings to that one. But I appreciate everybody listening to this episode and all the episodes. Make sure if you're listening on Apple Podcasts that you rate and review. Please. We would greatly appreciate it. And yeah, stay tuned till next week. We
love you guys.
Bye, my little biscuits.
Bye, biscuits.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.